Everyone.
Good morning.
Michael has been working a lot, so it's just me today.
Okay.
Thank you, Lord. So I had a really good time this week. I just wanted to give everyone kind of a disclaimer. Most any keys to freedom retreats are confidential. So if you ask me how it went, I'm going to tell you it went really well. But because I signed a thing saying I can't say what people said, you won't hear me talk about it very much. I might share points of certain teachings, but I have to be a little careful with what I say, okay? So I just want to let you all know, I'm not trying to ignore you when you ask me how to go. I'm like, good, that's all I can say. But it really was amazing. The whole point is to, you get alone with God and hear from him, and then we shared. And so it's neat. You know, we do that here with each other. You know, we hear from the Lord and we talk about the Lord with each other, and it's just really refreshing. You know, sometimes what's on your heart is also what's on my heart, but unless we talk about it, we don't know. You know, and it's encouraging to know, hey, I feel the same way. I'm going through the same thing, or, you know, things like that. So spend time with the Lord. Amen. All right. So we're going to talk about the spiritual maturity, how to grow. So last week we talked about what are signs of growth? How do you know you're growing? Some people don't really know. They just think that it's just an automatic thing. When you become a Christian, you start growing spiritually, and it's just an automatic thing. But it's actually something that you have to put effort into. It's not like human growth. Like we, you know, when we're born, we grow, we become children, and then teenagers and adults, and that's normal. But in the spiritual world, it's a little different, because you, number one, are making the choice to receive Jesus. That's number one. So you're making the choice to go on that path. And then you're making that choice to have relationship with him. That's your choice. It's something that only you can do. Only you can talk to God. I can't talk to him for you. You know, it's not like the Old Testament where Moses would intercede for the Israelites. It's not like that anymore. Now it's like you and the Father. It's personal. Jesus tore the veil open. It's all clear. We can go to him instantly in the name of Jesus, which is incredible. Amen? All right, so go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to start at verse 43. And this is Jesus talking. If you have a red letter Bible, you know. If you don't, I'm telling you. So Matthew 5, 43. You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, and that means mature, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Amen? So to grow in our spirits, we need communion with his Holy Spirit. Amen? Just like a child watches a parent. You ever notice like little kids act just like their parents? Not just in their what they do, but even their little things like how they talk or how they walk or what they do in response to things. It's amazing how children act just like their parents. Sometimes they're not even around their parents. You know, there are babies who their parents abandon them. And yet because it's in them, it's in their DNA, those children act just like their parents. It's pretty incredible. So we are to keep our spiritual eyes and ears open to our Father so that we can learn how he loves, how he communicates, how he interacts with others. To become like him, we need to dwell with him, to be a part of him. We need to get to know him. Amen. What is evidence of the Holy Spirit active in your life? Galatians 5:22 says, but the whole, and this is the New Living Translation, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So the Holy Spirit is the one who produces this kind of fruit. How is it possible that we think sometimes that we can just make that happen ourselves? You know, that I can just try to just love on my own, or I can try to produce joy of myself, or I can try to connect with my quote-unquote inner self and get peace to be one with. No, it doesn't work that way. True peace comes from our Father God. You can't produce that within yourself. It comes from our Father. Amen? And sometimes people will be like, well, these people aren't Christians, and how did they learn to love? How did they learn to be nice? And it all comes from the Father. Somehow in their lives, they learned love from somebody who knew the Father. That's where it came from. Whether they realize it or not, love comes from the Father. Amen? Many people in the world try to be good and nice and friendly, and it's even crossed over into the body of Christ. Christians think in order to show spiritual maturity, they need to act nice, talk nice, be friendly, follow the golden rule, you know, do unto others as you want them to do to you, as something that they have to work at to achieve, as if we can do this in our own strength. But we can't, right? It's important to note that because we are not like the world, just like Jesus said, we cannot do things the world's way. The world is full of greedy actors who only think of themselves. Is that who we want to be? No. The world will tell you to trust in your own strength. Get rich quick. It's all about you. Be independent. Take all of these classes to make you the best that you can be. That's what the world tells you, because the world wants you to be good and look good on the outside. The world doesn't care what you are on the inside. Our spiritual growth comes from our connection with the Spirit of God. The world will never understand how God takes the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. That is why we should never think that we can become wiser in the Spirit based on how the world thinks and sees things. Our perception has to be through the eyes of faith. Amen? All right, I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I'm going to read this out of the New Living Translation. I'm going to start at verse 13. Thank you, Father. 2 Corinthians 4:13. But we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist had when he said, I believed in God, so I spoke. We know that God, who raised the Lord Jesus, will also raise us with Jesus and present us to himself together with you. All of this is for your benefit. And as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving, and God will receive more and more glory. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. So spiritual maturity grows as our faith in Jesus gets stronger. Oftentimes, when we first get saved or we rededicate our lives to the Lord, we don't see or even understand how fleshly motives are hindering our growth. We just think that it's like, well, I have an issue and I can just deal with this. We don't realize that we need Jesus to get that issue out of us. Amen. It is through the Spirit that we receive the understanding of how to overcome the works of the flesh. So last week, I was thinking about this sermon from Sunday, and I was thinking about growing in the Lord, and I saw this, it looked like a pathway, but it had borders on the side. It wasn't like, you know, normally when you imagine a path, you just see like a sidewalk or something like a trail, and it's just the path, and you don't see anything on the outside. But this was a pathway, and then on the outside of it were these stone borders. And I was seeing this, and on the path it was faith, and on the wall it was love. So, as I was thinking about this, I was remembering, you know, God's word says faith works by love. And so I was like, wow, that is really neat. So I kind of wrote a little bit of this down. So what I saw was this path had borders on each side. On these borders was written love. Hope was the goal, the prize, the eternal life. It was like a light really, really far away, but I knew it was there and I could see it. And faith was the walkway, the path of believing in Jesus, and he was and is the only way into that path. He's the door. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, and faith works by love. Love is the border wall on each side, built by, number one, your revelation that God loves you, and number two, the commandment to love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Those walls keep you in your faith and believing in Jesus. When we keep our eyes on Jesus, communing with him, learning from him, dwelling with him, he strengthens those walls of love. As our love walls get stronger, so too does our faith in him, as well as our focus on the prize. This path is our spiritual growth, and its strength is unique to us as individuals. The thing about this path is that you can only see it through the eyes of faith. Like 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by faith, not by sight. And you also must keep walking, even in the valleys of darkness. Especially keep walking in the valleys of darkness. Do not stop, nor let your faith falter. As long as you see the light of hope, then you know you're going in the right direction. But what if something happens to you while you're walking through the dark valleys? Amen. I want you to turn to James chapter 1, and I'm going to read this out of the New Living Translation. We read this last week, and this week I want to read it out of the New Living to kind of give a different perspective on it. James chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy." That verse alone is pretty amazing. You have to really think about the amazingness of that. I mean, if somebody told you, hey, you're going through this trial, but consider it great joy, you'd probably slap them. If you didn't know the Lord, if you didn't know what was going to happen on the other side. For you know, verse 3, that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. So this is how we grow. Amen. Endurance means the power of enduring a difficult process or situation without giving way. It means not giving up when things get hard. So what do we do to grow in our faith when it does become dark, when we are going through trials and hardships? We start with going to the Word. Psalm 119:105 says, "His Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Our growth matures as we depend more on God and less on ourselves. As we turn to His Word, we find our faith path and love borders are strengthened by knowledge and understanding of His Word. As we communicate with His Spirit, the light of hope ahead is comforting and encouraging. So it's just like if you were in a dark alley and you can't see anything, and you just suddenly pull out your flashlight. That's how amazing and powerful the revelation of the Word is. When you get a revelation, it's just like a light comes on and you suddenly see, oh, this is the direction I need to go through. This is what I need to do. But say we are going through an especially hard trial. Our pace becomes slower and slower. We are in this dark valley and almost come to a stop because the fear and pain from the enemy is gripping us on all sides. Instead of grabbing hold of His Word, we trudge through hoping to just make it. Because we aren't communicating with His Spirit, our love borders start to weaken. Then suddenly our path of faith becomes very steep, so steep that it's hard to even take a step. What is happening is our spiritual growth has taken a hit because we drifted away from the One who gives us strength in our weakness. We may still be on the path and may still even believe that Jesus is our Savior, but because of this trial, this pain, this circumstance, we have turned away from His help and tried to fix the path on our own. The amazing thing about Jesus is His grace is sufficient for us, and His strength is made perfect in our weakness. So in our desperation and cry to the Lord, we realize He is always there. We may have lost our focus and become independent, but quick repentance and forgiveness helps repair our walls. And suddenly the path doesn't seem as steep. The light of hope shines brightly on up ahead, and we rejoice that Jesus brought us through the dark valley. As we walk on, our spirits grow stronger because our faith in Jesus has been strengthened. Anybody ever gone through those times? This spiritual maturity is revealed by how our character is developed. People with good character often have a good reputation, even among sinners, which is pretty amazing. If you don't have a good reputation, think about how to get that better. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 5. Again, I'm reading this in the New Living Translation. I'm going to start at verse 1. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, New Living Translation. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God. Because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us, because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. Amen. Will you receive that love today? If there is a part in you that you feel like you just don't have that love, that there is just something that has come in and just stolen away what you thought you knew about the Lord, just ask the Lord, Lord, whatever is in my heart, God, I surrender it to You. I submit it to You, and I listen to Your Holy Spirit. I let that love in, I let that light in, and I receive it. Amen. Again, our dependence on Jesus Christ may seem like a weakness to the world, but it is a supernatural strength that only a true believer will understand. To everyone else, it is foolishness. If it's foolishness to the world, don't worry about it. Don't try to prove yourself to the world. When Paul was instructing Timothy on how to establish leaders in the church, he told Timothy in 1 Timothy 3:7, in the New Century Version, it says that an elder must also have the respect of people who are not in the church, so he will not be criticized by others and caught in the devil's trap. So this isn't, you're not keeping a good reputation because you can do it on your own. When you have a good reputation, it's because God has developed your spiritual maturity. God has made that in you, and people see that. When we were at the diner, I can't tell you how much this was evidenced in us there. I mean, people knew that they saw us, and they could tell who were Christians and who were not, just on how we worked every day. And that is a big testament of what Jesus did in us. Amen. So even if the world thinks you are crazy for depending on Jesus and taking a stand, if your character is well developed and you have a good reputation, then they have nothing to come against you with if they would try. Do Christians face unfair trials? Yes, all the time. In fact, more and more in these days. That is the persecution that we are called to face. But good character should not bring us a bad reputation. Amen? Even if they come against us, our reputation is that we stand firmly on God's word. Amen? Remember that your dependency and trust in God will show the level of spiritual growth that you are at, just like it says in 2 Corinthians 4. Your physical body may be failing you, but your spiritual body is being renewed day by day. You need to grow spiritually so that when you face the trials, walk through the dark valleys, and endure suffering, you are able to get through it and come out of it easier than you did before. Put your dependence on the Holy Spirit for this growth. The more you depend on yourself, the less you will grow. But the more you depend on Him, the stronger your spiritual muscles will become. And I'm just going to finish this out with one more thing and we'll close. So I just, you know, each one of us, as we come into the ministry and we've grown up here, you know, we a lot of us have developed certain characteristics, you know, like because we see other people or the Holy Spirit has developed it in us. And I just want to let you know, if there is a desire in your heart to serve in ministry, the Lord is the one who makes it happen. It is spiritual maturity that is inside of you that God places you in the position that you're going to be. It's not something that you can depend on yourself for. If God has a calling and a purpose in your life, then He will start you in places that you may not understand why He put you there. You may even be there and you're like, okay, God, I don't know what to do next, but I know Your Holy Spirit and I trust Your Holy Spirit. And because of that, I will be faithful. So just be open. If that's the desire of your heart to be in ministry in one way or another, it can be anything in serving in the body of Christ. It can be even just serving each other. You may not know. God may want you to just go do something for someone. Whatever it is, if that's the desire of your heart, God will bring it to pass, and He will show you how to handle that. He'll give you the strength. He'll give you the wisdom. He'll give you the love. Everything that you need. But you can't receive that if you don't have a relationship with Him. Amen? Put your dependence on the Holy Spirit, and He'll show you your future. Amen? All right, that is all I have today. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. You can go ahead and stand. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. You know, as I was thinking of this, and I was seeing this path, you know, we try so hard sometimes as Christians to make this walk our own. You know, we think that we can just work it out on our own strength, and that somehow we can be a better person, or we can do this in a way that makes God happy for us or loves us more. But God is not like that. He loves us right where we are. He loved us in the worst condition that we've ever been in our lives, and maybe that we'll still be in someday. And He doesn't stop. But our choice is, are we going to serve Him? Are we going to choose Him no matter what in this world? Are we going to give Him our all? Or are we just going to give him enough of what we think is enough? Amen? It's your choice today. All right, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, God, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. Jesus, today, we all make this decision, each one of us, in our hearts, in our lives, wherever it is, we choose to serve you, Lord. We lift up our lives as living sacrifices. Lord, change in us what needs to be changed. Open up our hearts, God, to receive what needs to be received. Heal what needs to be healed. And make new what needs to be made new. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are always with us, God. You never leave us. You never forsake us. We are strong in you, Lord, and in the power of your might. So we thank you, Lord. We walk away from this, God, knowing that we are the righteousness of you, God, in Christ Jesus. We are the head and not the tail. We are 10 times wiser than the heathen because our trust is in you, Jesus. Have your way. And we thank you for our time together. Holy Spirit, speak through each one of us as we enjoy your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, be blessed this week, everyone. Wednesday, we will have Bible study like normal. Thursday, again, if anyone wants to join us, it'll be 5 o'clock here for a dinner and then whatever you want to do afterward. Okay? All right, you're dismissed.